Reading to you from the 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews and with the 25th verse. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then one year later, God called me to preach, and I've been doing it ever since. Well, friends, you know, winter's here. For all you people who are having trouble with alcoholism and drug addiction during the holiday seasons, I urge that you come to Jesus. Lay your sins on Jesus and let him save you. I'll guarantee you, it'll change your life. Oh, the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Listen, kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass or a cup of hot coffee or maybe a hot chocolate. That sounds good. And let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? I'm taking my text reading from the 4th chapter of Acts and with the 13th verse. 4th chapter, Acts, 13th verse. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Dynamic but dumb. Oh, my precious friends, today every young man that surrenders to preach are told they have to get 4 years Bible college, they got to get to seminary, they have to have this and that. Beloved, if that's true, then this right here is a bunch of malarkey. It is not a bunch of malarkey. It's a true fact. Jerusalem had just been rocked by an explosion of love. Pentecost had launched a massive response to the gospel. And we read in the 2nd chapter of Acts that at one preaching, 3,000 were converted under Peter's preaching. Why, isn't this a man that had denied the Lord and had done some stupid things? You mean to tell me this is a man that God is using to win souls? Sure is. And the same Peter that won 3,000 also won 5,000. Oh, listen, mighty answer to prayer was evident to the community. You know, I've got a pastor friend of mine. I met him while he was a prison chaplain. A fine gentleman, and he had a wonderful wife. And he was doing a marvelous work, but the wardens in that prison didn't like to hear those people getting saved and that the inmates were witnessing to others, so they put so much pressure on him that he had to leave the prison. Well, now he's interim pastor in a town where a tornado wiped the city out, and he is the chaplain, he's the pastor, interim pastor there. They can't afford to pay him anything, so a lot of us are underwriting him. But the thing is, dear friends, we are praying for a great, great spiritual revival to break out in that little church and for that pastor to lead them. Oh, my friends, we don't pray for churches enough. We don't pray for pastors enough. We don't pray for our evangelists enough. If we prayed like we should, my stars, friends, we would see things like that in our churches. Now, I'm telling you, there's rarely a Sunday that we speak in prisons that there isn't 10, 15, 25 men or women come to know Christ. Now, it is not because of my great preaching, because I am not a great preacher. But what I do tell them, first of all, I tell them that they're not junk. They're not trash. God made them in His image, and He loves them, and He died for them. And if they want a new life, they can have it. Did you know that's what they need to hear? They don't need to hear hellfire brimstone all the time, and a lot of preachers do go in there with hellfire brimstone. I do not. Do I believe in hell? I hope to kiss a pig. I believe in hell. And I was headed straight for it when I was an alcoholic. I knew I was going to hell. But did you know what happened? Long life's journeys a lot. I had a lot of people witnessing to me, tell me what Christ meant to them. And dear friends, that's what we're supposed to do. Just two months ago, I led a real bad alcoholic to Christ. His business was failing. He was in terrible repair. I wish you could hear him when he calls me on in the morning and tells me what the Lord has done for him, how God has blessed his life and his business. Oh, friends, that's our job. Well, see, this lame man was miraculously healed in the temple. Well, Peter's call to repentance and faith brought 5,000 to Christ. The religious leaders were upset, and the high priest and others questioned Peter and John, and I read in Acts, the 4th chapter, 6th verse. And Ananias, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto all you and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole." Oh, my friends, did you hear that? He told them, "Hey, you were the guys that crucified him, but God raised him from the dead." Peter pointed to God's power in healing the lame man. Let's look at the verse 10 again. "Be it known unto all you and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole." Well, he reminded his questioners of the cross. He declared the resurrection to be true, and he insisted on faith in Christ as the only way of salvation. Here's what he said: "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The critics reacted with amazement to Peter and John. Now, they recognized their daring. Peter and John had been arrested the day before, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold into the next day, for it was now eventide. You see, beloved, listen, preaching about the resurrection was dangerous. Oh, my stars, is that dangerous? Teaching about Jesus could cost them their lives. Beloved, if you're a born-again Christian, our lives are on the line if we're truly living for Christ. There are people all around the world dying every day, Christians, for the call of Christ. Remember the missionary boys down in when the Ok Indians killed them. and over in Russia and over in China and other places. You cannot get up and like you do in America. And why can we do that in America? I'll tell you why. Because we've got servicemen and women overseas fighting to protect our great nation. Army, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, you name them. Oh, dear friends, I'm so glad that some of our Republicans and Democrats are getting their eyes open. They're seeing that we are winning a little over there. And I'll tell you right now, beloved, if we desert that land, the world will say America got whipped. And we're there to not only help those people, but to help our own country. Well, you remember when the 5,000 were saved, it placed them all in jeopardy. Standing firm for the gospel seemed like folly, but refuting their enemies fueled fires of persecution. Now, the leaders marveled at their boldness in the face of dangers. I wonder, beloved, did others see us bold in declaring our faith? You know, I've told you many times, my daily prayer is this. Lord, fill me with your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, endue me with power from on high. Lord, give me holy boldness. Give me precious souls for my hire. I could tell you some of the stories that's happened to me where God answered that prayer in giving me holy boldness. Basically, I'm a coward. Yeah, basically, I'm a coward. But when the Holy Spirit of God takes over, He will help you to have holy boldness. And He will show you, give you results in holy boldness. See, their research indicated these men were dumb. That's what we are told. The Educational Background Committee reported they had no education. These powerful preachers were called unlearned, and their critics concluded that they were ignorant. This only raised more questions. How could dumb people be so dynamic? How could the uneducated be so discerning? What was the secret of their power? They reasoned their resources must be divine. Friends, years and years ago, the church I belonged to over here in Littleton, the pastor invited seven laymen from Texas to come to our church and hold a three-day lay-led revival. I put four of those people up in our home while they were here. Our church was so blessed by these laymen, these untrained, uneducated in the Lord, theology, came and they led our church in a revival. Well, so one day I was sitting in my pastor's study, and he said, "Cecil, what does our church need today?" I said, "I think what we need is to start a lay-led revival, like training these laymen in evangelism." Well, he said, "Would you like the job?" I said, "I certainly would." I went down and I bought a 30-foot motorhome. And we picked out six men in our church that we thought that might be well to be trained. Our first lay-led revival, we went in my van. We drove up there, is about 300 miles. And just before we pulled into town, we stopped over on a hill, and we started praying for this revival in this church. My stars in the morning, these laymen were scared to death. But they did their job, and they witnessed, and they testified. And we would go out in the daytime and visit some of their people that had visited their church, introducing them to Christ. And we took their people with us so they could learn how to do it. Well, it was a great, great revival. And then I bought the motorhome. And then we started traveling. We went to Texas. We went to Montana. We went to all over Colorado and various states. And friends, I've got letters in here right now. This has been years ago. From the pastors of these churches that said, I don't believe what happened. Well, let me give you a quick example of what happened one day. We went to a church down in Texas. And we drove all day. We got there and we had our first part of the lay revival. Did you know the church that needed paint? The roof leaked. The rug was shot. The pews were shot. It was a terrible thing. There was more people in my lay team than there was in the church that night. Maybe it was 7 people in the church. Well, after we left, I don't know how many people accepted Christ that we went out and led the Lord. Now, 3 or 4 years have passed, and I was traveling to Texas to show my movie, and I called this preacher, and I said, you remember me? This is Brother Mo. Oh, for heaven's sakes, yes. How you doing, preacher? I said, I'm doing fine. I said, I'm traveling through Texas this week. Would you like to buy? And then my movie had already just come out. Would you like to let me show my movie? Yeah. He said, well, why don't you do that and then preach for us? I said, okay. My wife and I drove up in front of the church, and I said, this isn't the right place. There was a brand spanking new roof on that church. The church had been painted. Inside, there was new carpeting and new pews and an organ. And when that night came, there was over 100-some people showed up at that meeting. And the preacher said, Cecil, you remember your time you brought your little lay team here? I was ready to resign and to quit. And those men come in there and they shared their faith. And they were not trained and they were not educated men, to so speak. But that's what happened to our church today. Oh, friends, I've got more letters I could tell you about, but I don't have time to do that. Something was going on here that transcended human ability. These unprepared ones had become great preachers. These untaught ones had become effective teachers. There was only one answer. They had been with Jesus. Paul would later write of other weak ones becoming strong. 1 Corinthians 1 chapter. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which were not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Did you hear that, Benny Hinn? Did you hear that, Oral Roberts? That no flesh should glory in his presence. Friends, this is a beautiful story. The man walked in the temple, and Jesus said, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee, arise and walk. He reached down and took his hand, and he raised him up, and he ran in a temple, jumping and praising God for what the Lord had done. Now, you know, I know a place in Spokane, Washington, where Oral Roberts was holding a meeting many years ago. And this guy had took his son, who was not mentally well, to be healed. And Oral Roberts wouldn't take him in the line because he knew he wouldn't fall into that stuff. Well, friends, and I could never talk to that guy about Jesus. He said, all Christians are phony. That's not true. But I'll tell you, my dear friends, if you'll sell out to Jesus, God will use you. God can use you. You say, Cecil, you know what? How can he use me when I don't even know him? Well, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to tell you how to find him. I tell those men and women in prison, look, here's what you have to do. You, first of all, you got to be sorry for your sins. And you got to recognize that Jesus is the one that went to the cross and took your sins upon him to die for you, that you might have life eternal. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. Tonight you say, well, Cecil, I'll tell you one thing. I know I'm lost. Do you feel it tugging at your heart, a real tugging at you? Just want to say yes to Jesus. I want to lead you in a sinner's prayer. Beloved, please don't pray this if you don't mean it. You can get in serious trouble. But here's how the prayer goes. Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry, Lord, and I'm turning my back on the old way of life. Lord, I'm inviting you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, won't you call me at 303-471-8534? I want to pray with you and pray for you. Oh, friends, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Friend, I don't care where you go to church. I'm just concerned where you spend eternity. My phone number is 303-471-8534. If you can't pay for the call, call collect. I'm waiting by my phone.
Peace to all her strife. Go ask the man. don't pretend to be so wise. I only know he touched my life, and nothing else will ever be the same. I don't pretend to be so wise.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Pray for my health, pray for my wife, and pray for my quartet, and pray that that open door will come at the Lyman State Prison, where there it's a maximum security and it's full of lifers, double lifers. Pray that we'll be a blessing. Oh, how we used to love to go there. Always people getting saved every time we would, our group would go. Pray for us, and until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.